Question, please raise your hand and we're going to be happy. Okay.
I have a question for Erling Strand about Hasdal. And since spectra have been obtained, I think, in a great number, what do we know now about the composition of the source of the light?
Well, hello. Yes, we have some spectra showing the lights. I will say that most of the spectra seems to have some kind of continuous spectra. There was on one occasion, I believe, or two occasions, the computer said it could be some emission line. Although by looking at the pictures, they're very, very weak, so it can be discussed. But the spectral of those two pictures was scandium, one of them, which is a metal, of course. But I will say that we need more spectra. And of course, also we have continuous spectra. So there's very few of emission lights.
Thank you. Other questions?
Erling, I have a question also. We are very concerned about air aviation safety and the interaction with this phenomena. Question with regard to Hestalan. Do you have any evidence at all that the phenomenon rises up to altitudes where commercial flights are 30,000 feet, 20,000 feet?
We don't have any measured data on that, so we cannot say that if they're on that altitude. We have, of course, seen a lot of lights up in the air, but we cannot say about the high.
But your radar doesn't show its altitude?
No.
I see.
Have you estimated the temperature of Hasdal events?
Interesting question. on one of the optical spectrum, we haven't measured the only thing we can say about the temperature. Well, there are two things. First of all, there has been people close to the phenomena, and none people have felt any heat, even close to 10 meters from the phenomena, and they haven't felt any heat. If you look at the continuous spectra, and if you think of that as a black body radiation,
yes, really.
It should be very thousands of degrees. And even if you look at the ultraviolet part of it, it should be a very high temperature. So that's a little bit strange, because the continuous spectra, which say it, well, it can say anyway, that it is a high temperature. But even when we don't have any other thing on that, but actually the opposite. Because if you notice the track in the snow, the snow wasn't melted. No melted at all. So if it should be this 1,000 degree, you should expect the snow should be melting. Not at all.
Yes, but it's a simple calculation. If you take a Planck formula, you can calculate temperature from your continuous spectra. And what is it, 2,000 degrees or 10?
We haven't got it's outside of the range we could measure.
But you have a formula of wind, and lambda multiplied by T is a constant, and you could estimate by maximum.
Yes, we haven't calculated that maximum.
I see.
Oui, bonjour. Moi, j'aurais une question à poser à Monsieur Piccoli concernant les photos de Hasdalen. Avez-vous reconnu, par exemple, des photos de éventuellement de foudre en boule ou de foudre globulaire?
Merci de votre question. Non, pas de foudre en boule, pas visuellement parlant, attention, pas techniquement, visuellement, pas de foudre globulaire, mais il est certain qu'il y a, sur certains clichés du moins, une ressemblance assez frappante avec la catégorie plot, phénomène lumineux orageux transitoire, qui eux peuvent se déclarer par ambiance ou atmosphère orageuse, mais également par beau temps lorsqu'on a des champs électriques ou électromagnétiques assez élevés ou du moins très perturbés. Voilà. La comparaison s'arrête là. C'est absolument pas ni une explication ni même une tentative. C'est simplement une singularité frappante dans la ressemblance visuelle.
Oui. For Dr. Piccoli, I was very interested in your presentation. At a certain time, among one of the three classification, you spoke about the geometric shapes. Is it so? And so can you tell something more about the which geometric shapes and how do they change in time?
Alors, comment on va procéder en français, en anglais? Peut-être que je vais le faire en premier en français et puis si vous voulez...
I know.
Bon, je vais d'abord le faire en anglais, et puis on va se le jouer en aparté, et puis après en commun. This classification is not a finale act, you know. It's at this time it's just a very simple classification for first identification. It's not for explain the case.
Geometric shape in a star. And of course, it is no pixelation because inside there are a lot of pixels.
I know.
So it is real. And there was a transformation of that of the ball of light into a rectangle. Of course, I don't want to mean about UFOs, intelligence, or so. Because more than that, I think to the snow crystals, why are they geometric?
Yeah.
And how a plasma can become geometric? So it must be a physical problem.
And I want to explain one thing. You need to make a caution because this classification is not for say yes, it's a ball lightning or no. It's just one little help for first identification. It's not the explanation for the phenomenon.
But in any fact, I've seen the time scales and the dimension.
Yeah.
There is a sort of correlation between the time scale, the lifetime, and the dimension. When it is long lasting, it is quite big. It is the same. When it is short lasting, it is quite small.
Yeah.
This is more lightning. It's darling, it's the other side. So it seems that. Your classification, in any fact, describes also the starling black things.
Yeah.
I've seen something similar.
And it's not really finished.
Yes, of course.
Juste pour faire une traduction, mais vous le comprendrez, lyonnais de naissance, parlant un anglais, je l'écris beaucoup mieux que je le parle. Donc vous avez tous compris qu'en fait, cette classification, déjà, elle ébauche de la publication qui va sortir. Mais surtout... Il faudrait surtout pas tomber dans le piège de se dire ah ben si on sort de ce que vous avez vu au niveau visuel, c'est forcément un cas ou l'autre. C'est pas du tout ça. C'est un petit peu comme le principe du radar. Il y a une détection, après il faut aller voir un petit peu plus loin. C'est vraiment simplement une aide visuelle. Je vais pas dire approximative, mais ça se veut comme une aide visuelle pour faire un pré-tri. Et un pré-tri n'est pas du tout ni une analyse ni une conclusion. Merci. Thank you for watching.
I have a question for Mr. Strand, if I'm right, concerning S-Dalen. You mentioned different type of observation, optical observation, spectrum analysis, plus low frequency and centimetric radar. Do you have any correlation between the spectrum analysis in the, I would say, in the visible spectrum, together with the radar analysis, And concerning the radar analysis, you're mentioning the possibility of plasma, things like that, especially with the centimetric radar, do you have any range analysis about the phenomena that could be correlated to electronic density, that sort of things?
Well, we have several radar. The one from 2007, which I showed you, the radar area, if you noticed, it was quite big, with several peaks up during the whole area. So that's changed all the time during that observation. The radar observation started at 1930 or some minutes before, and ended 2330, I think. During these hours, the radar was changing, not continuous, but the area was quite big. Yes, that was one question. I don't remember what you was saying.
The complementary question was about the range analysis, the spatial distribution of the signal, if you want, for the radar meteor.
Or the range for the radar?
Yes, not the range of the radar, but the spatial resolution analysis with the centimetric radar.
I don't remember all that details, but of course it's written in reports, so it's possible to find out. There's a lot of... Do you remember? No, we don't have...
It's a low-frequency radar developed by the Institute for Radio Astronomy and the Medicina Telescope. And it's made for detecting debris coming in from outer space. The frequency they are using is approximately 487 megahertz. It's a very low frequency, giving a very long wavelength, so the resolution isn't very good. And it's not a moving radar. It's like a tracking radar used by the military. So the antenna is directed in one direction, and the antenna has an opening angle of about 20 degrees, sending out a pulse. So if anything comes into this area, it will give a reflection back. And the angle of approximately 20 degrees, it's the best position we can give inside this 20 degrees area. It's the best direction we can give, not better than 20 degrees. And the distance may be resolution of 1 kilometer, not better.
Yeah, I have another question for Dr. Piccoli. What about, in many cases, humans have come into contact with these things, both with globular lightning and with ball lightning and so on. You have not talked about the physiological or pathological aspects of that. Is that documented somewhere? And what is the range of effects on the human body?
We have many cases about 58 cases with body damage on person by a lightning ball or a globular ball. Okay. First category of damages is burn disease, is a skin allergy after, and about 10 is the death immediately after it, for example. I can't remember the the good date, but we have a case in the lab who a group of seven person work around a tree, around three tree. The lightning hit one tree, one ball lightning appear across the field, up to 25 meters, and hit a person with explosion, water cloud, okay, and the person is dead, sure, immediately, okay, with enormous body damages.
It's a question for Mr. Strand, again, for Esdalen. After 30 years, sorry for this question, any kind of intelligence?
Very difficult question. Actually, I cannot say, because this is actually a hard question. It's a discussion of what you mean by intelligent, etc. So I don't know.
Because you mentioned,
I can say, right. I'm very easily to say no.
Okay.
But among all these hundreds of, or more than that, observations, or several hundreds, so. Of course, if you study all of them, or happenings, some may find something which could indicate some kind of intelligent. But I will not take that conclusion. It's too no.
Thank you.
Alors, c'est une question pour M. Strand, mais comme je parle très mal anglais, je vais la poser en français. J'espère qu'on pourra m'aider. Ma question est une double question. Déjà, en 30 ans de recherche sur Esdalen, comment ont évolué vos relations avec le gouvernement norvégien et comment le gouvernement prend la chose maintenant avec 30 ans de recul?
So after 30 years of research, what is the evolution between what you're doing and the government, and how is the government taking it today?
Well, there has been a good good way it going in the right direction. In the beginning, everyone was against the topic. It's a long story I could tell, but in the beginning, it was called UFO. That, of course, made a lot of problems. And that's one of the reasons why we changed the word to Hesdalen phenomena. And also I noticed that a lot of scientists was interested, but not official in the beginning. And I knew that if we could make this accepted as a phenomena, a real phenomena, much more people would be interested in doing this. And this has been a long way, and now it's more accepted. It's real accepted as a real phenomenon in Norway now. We have brought it into the school system. We have brought students into it. We have done a lot of social things, and that's good now. It's accepted.
Thank you. Rapidement. Au début, c'était très difficile. Tant que c'était tagué OVNI, et à partir du moment où ils ont appelé le phénomène Esdalen, déjà l'idée a été mieux acceptée. Et aujourd'hui, ils n'ont plus trop de problèmes et ils arrivent même à faire venir des étudiants pour pouvoir étudier justement ce phénomène. Voilà, résumé très très rapide. Ok. So two questions.
Erling, you may have mentioned this already, but I may have missed it. In all of your years of work, have you found any relationship between tectonic stress, strain, fault lines, effects at ground level on this phenomena?
there are fault lines in Hesdal. We have seismic activity. The Hesdal area is the area in Norway with the least seismic activity. We have mapped any seismic activity for a long time, and we have not found any correlation with seismic activity. But there are fault lines in Hesdal.
Juste un petit commentaire sur en relation avec l'intelligence. Je voudrais juste me référer à ma recherche. Quand j'ai interviewé les différentes personnes qui ont été sur le terrain pour décrire leurs observations et leurs commentaires, il y a plusieurs qui m'ont dit que quand ils étaient sur le terrain, ils avaient le phénomène qu'ils essayaient de photographier interagissait avec avec eux-mêmes. Ce n'est pas seulement un ou deux. Il y en a eu plusieurs comme ça. C'est juste un commentaire. Now, specific comment for Esdalen, let's say. I think with the past presentation, we are talking about two kind of phenomena. One is more, could be a natural phenomena that relate to Esdalen, the Marfa lights, etc., etc. And in fact, if we find a new natural phenomena in this respect, this would result in legitimizing the full side of the ufology, I would say. So the outside laboratories are very important in this side. Now, the specific question is, in Esdalen, besides the normal, let's say, light phenomena, are you confronted as well in the recent years with UFO cases, more structure objects or not? Thank you.
Oh, yes. There are such kind of daylight observations, too, in Esdalen. But the project hasn't focused on that. We are focused on the light types, mainly because the daylight observation is witness reports telling, and there's a lot of them, but we have only witness report. We have no instrumentation readings. We have no good photo. We have no such kind of things. And also, the lights is much more of it. We have instrumentation readings. We have photo. We have a lot more on the light phenomena. So that's the simple reason that it's the light phenomena we focus on, and all the instrumentation we build up is finding more about the light. And if, as I also mentioned, the light phenomena, it seems to be different types of phenomena. It doesn't necessarily to be the same. The only common thing is that it happened in the same valley. So you can say it's the same thing because it's the same valley. But no, I don't think so. It's so different. And also the daylight observation could be completely different. We don't know. If that has anything to do with the light phenomena. And also, of course, we have very little real fact data on that one. We have only witness reports.
We have 10 more minutes.
Not a question, but just a consideration about the importance to study Esdalen-like phenomena. The point is that apart from the possible triggering mechanism that is creating the lights, the normal lights, just to say, which might be piezoelectricity, which might be a natural battery that someone like Monari and Serra have been hypothesized, which is very important. The biggest physics problem in this kind of phenomena is to try to understand what is the confinement mechanism of the plasma that is keeping a light ball self-contained for so long time. So we have to identify an equilibrium, a balance of forces, like in the stars. In the stars we have a central force, which is gravity, and an external force, which is outward force, that is pressure. So we have to try to understand which are these two forces there, and then to try to understand how to produce that kind of energy, because this kind of research is also to help us to understand how to reproduce in a laboratory this, and possibly also to use in the future. So I was wanted just to point out this very important physics problem.
Other questions?
I have a question for Erling. Could you tell us some words about the particular environment of the Esdalen Valley in terms of geology, electrical environment, seismology, and so on?
Well, the Esdalen Valley is what's specific with Esdalen Valley? And it's we know that there's a lot of minerals in it. There's a lot of old mines, it's copper mines, it's iron, it's sulfur mine, also other minerals. So the whole area is a lot, consists of a lot of different minerals. That, for sure, we know. And what else? If is that the thing which make Hestalen so special, so it also light show up? We don't know. So actually, we don't know more than that.
I suppose that you've made measurement of an electromagnetic field or electrical field, and are there anomalies or extraordinary?
Yes, we are in cooperation with some French scientists now, which will work more on that topic to see if there is more specific things. And the outcome of that, of course, will be very interesting.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Last question for myself, for Mr. Passot. I was wondering if the GEPAN had any motivation for eventually financing field monitoring experiments.
I think that perhaps Lionel could give the answer. You accept to give the answer, Lionel?
Yes, personally, I think that it is not the job of GEPAN to do that, but to ask the scientific community and to give the information to the scientific community from the information we have in GEPAN. To know if they have interested to pay or to finance this type of research, and that's what we did. We have presentation at GEPAN Comité de Pilotage from the Esdalen people, and we propose to our community in CNES. We don't decide to make a scientific project, even a satellite scientific project, by our own. We rely on the scientific community, and we ask to the community which are the priorities, what do we have to do for the help of the community. And so we gave the Esdalen case, as other things, to the community to know from them which are the priorities, and do they think we have to, they have to finance this type of research. But it is not... That what can be done by GEPAN, and we have done that. It is not a job of GEPAN to finance this type of research.